So we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3, reading verses 14 through 16. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And we, God's people, say, Amen. You know, when significant changes come into our families, or into our businesses, or into our personal lives, or into our church, as Christians, what we usually do is we usually remind ourselves of and we reassert the biblical truths that God has given to us. Whenever we're going through significant changes, it is always wise for us to come back to the basic principles of the holy Christian faith. Well, our pastors and Session are doing this for Trinity's transition time. Session is teaching us on the marks of the church in her Bible classes. And for my last sermons as your senior pastor here at the church, I am preaching on the doctrine of the church. I have been focusing on the assembly of the Lord. Why this emphasis? During this transition time. Why this emphasis on the church? Well, if there's one thing I want to leave with you, is I want to leave with you the glory of our triune God, the blessedness of Jesus, our Holy Savior, the glory of the Holy Spirit who is here in the church. See, God Almighty is present with us in the church in a special way, in a God-ordained way. This is the house of prayer. This is His house. And I never want you to live your life being not a member of God's holy house and partake of a place where God is present by His Spirit to worship Him. Why this emphasis? Well, because of Christ as well. Because here in the church, the atonement is preached. The atonement is tasted and seen in the bread and the wine. Here we proclaim the accomplished work of the cross, that Jesus was born, that He died on the cross, and that He rose again for our justification. Here in the church, we recognize and hear that Christ is King. Why this emphasis? Because, you see, this is the family of God, the place of the Holy Spirit. We, the church, are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And why the emphasis on the church? Well, because of your soul. Here you come to God, and here God comes to you. Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. So in other words, this place is the place between heaven and earth. The place where we get a taste of Christ, a taste of heaven, the endowment of glory of the Holy Spirit, and where we come to rest in our souls as we worship our triune God. Now, in my preaching, I've reminded us of the nature of the church. She is the kingdom of God, and she is the family of the living God. This is fundamental. This is the fundamental nature of our congregation. This is a special thing we have here. We are the kingdom of God, the family of God. Well, as the family of God and as the kingdom of God, we have a special task. And the sermon this morning is on that task. The church is the pillar and buttress of the truth, as it says in verse 15. This phrase in verse 15 describes a great part of our work as the congregation of the Lord. First of all, what does this scripture mean? When it says that the church of the living God is a pillar and buttress of the truth, what does that mean? Well, God's church, as the Greek says, is a pillar, a column. And you know, this figure of speech is from the Old Testament scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 7, it says that there were two pillars in God's holy temple, one called Jachin and the other called Boaz. Jachin means God shall establish, and Boaz means strength. And Paul uses this imagery here for the new temple in Jesus Christ. In other words, the church is a support. The church is a strength. And notice the scripture also says that the church is a buttress. A better rendering of this word buttress would be foundation or ground. The idea is that of a solid rock. And you know, this image is from the Old Testament as well. The prophets in the Old Testament proclaim that Messiah, Jesus, is the cornerstone, the sure and everlasting foundation of Zion of the Holy Church. We think of Isaiah and chapter 28 and verse 16. Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested one, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation, and whoever believes in me will not be put to haste. And 1 Timothy 3:15 shows this prophecy fulfilled. The church is the pillar and the foundation stone, the solid bedrock of the truth. So the church, God's church, is the pillar and foundation of the truth as well. Now the word for truth here is aletheia. And it means God's truth as revealed by God in Holy Scripture and in Christ incarnate. So the word truth here, that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth, means that which is revealed by God in the Scripture and that which is revealed by God to us through Christ, through Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate Word. Now, to put all of this together, the church in her service and calling of God is a pillar upholding the truth which comes from God. The church is a place of strength, not because she has strength in her members in and of themselves, but because she has the truth of God. And also, the church in her service and calling of God is a pillar and upholding the truth which comes from God, because not only do we have the scriptures, but we also have Christ. Of course, she has this task and can do it. She can be a place of strength, a place of upholding God's truth, because she was created by the foundation of truth and also has the foundation of truth under her, Christ. And Christ has sent to us the Holy Spirit. And so we as the church are a strength. We have a foundation. Our strength is Christ. Our foundation is Christ. So we could say with St. Patrick of Ireland, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ ahead on top of me, Christ underneath me. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in the way of Christ's truth and Christ's person. So in other words, to put it another way, a Christ-centered scriptural church gives God's solid bedrock of truth to her members, to the world, and then her members are strengthened as she partakes of that truth. The truth does not have its source from the church. Oh no, it has its source from God. And God's decree then is that the church upholds His truth and is a strong foundation for His truth. And because she is His, He is with her to help her to be the pillar and ground of the truth. That is, to be the pillar and ground of the Word of God in Scripture and the Word of God incarnate, Christ. So this is what Paul means in that phrase, a pillar and buttress of the truth. But secondly, why did and why does God give us this profound word, which speaks to us of this amazing task that we have? Why? Why did Paul give this word to the Ephesian church? Well, you see, the Ephesian church was to recall and hold on to what they had been given, the apostolic word and the word of Christ, which is one and the same. You see, at this time, the Ephesian church was a bit in trouble. Rather than supporting and being a strength for the gospel in the world, in the city of Ephesus, she was bringing God's truth into disrepute by her misbehavior. And so Paul had to talk about the pastoral qualifications and about the diaconal qualifications. And then he had to say this very specifically: I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. And so what God is doing through the Apostle Paul here is God is calling the Ephesian church back to their great role, their great task in the world. Paul had admonished the Ephesian church before. Years earlier, Paul had visited the Ephesian church. This is what he told the elders. We read of this in Acts chapter number 20 and verses 26 through 32. Listen to this. Paul says, "Therefore I testify to you, elders of the Ephesian church, that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The church would be attacked after Paul left that Ephesian place, and she was attacked. But nevertheless, she had a task to maintain the truth. She, the Ephesian church, was to recall and hold on to what was entrusted to her. For the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. This is why Paul said what he said to the Ephesian elders. "You elders, you guard the flock. You teach them the word. You go from house to house as I have gone from house to house with the word of God." Because the church has a task. She's the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul says this as an apostle, and as an apostle, he has passed down this task to the church today, to Trinity. We do believe in apostolic succession, not in the papacy, but apostolic succession in the word of the apostles and in the task that the apostles have given to the church. The apostles told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the apostles also told us that we are the pillar and ground of the truth. It's interesting, isn't it? We see this in the New Testament in a unique way. For instance, Paul's role as an apostle was to give to the church that which was entrusted to him by Jesus. Then Paul, as an apostle of Jesus, entrusted what he learned to the church. And so Timothy, he tells Timothy, "You guard the deposit, the truth given to you." He tells the elders, as we read earlier in the Ephesian church, to guard the people with the church, with the truth. You see, the church's task is not the same as the apostles, but it is like the apostles. In this, that with the apostles' word, we are to hold on to the apostles' word, defend the apostles' word, and proclaim the word. The apostles received the revelation by inspiration and wrote that inspired word. That's how they were to be a pillar and strength and buttress of the truth. We are to do the same, only we have the apostolic word with the apostolic word. Now, at the time of the Paul wrote 1 Timothy, the church of Ephesus was in danger of losing that because of her misbehavior. So Paul had to remind her. And I remind you again, as your senior minister, you are part of a great community, a creation of God. And your task in mind, together as the family of God and the kingdom of God, is we are the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, sadly, later on, John would write to the Ephesian church in Revelation and rebuke them, for they had left their first love. So they had struggles. We have struggles. But the Word of God comes to us over and over again, like the Word of God came to the Ephesian church. Remember, you're the pillar and ground of the truth. So that's why he gave the Ephesian church this word, because their task was being threatened because of their misbehavior. Why does God give us this word today? Well, I'm sure you've guessed it already. Simply to remind us that God has fitted Trinity. He has fitted us to be the pillar and foundation of His great, inestimable truth as given to us in the person of Jesus Christ and Christ's holy word as given it to us by the apostles and prophets. We are not apostles, but we have the Word of God and the apostolic Christ-given direction to be a pillar, a strength, and a foundation of the Word of God, the truth of God. Now, this, of course, has some clear realities. And so that brings me to the third question in the sermon this morning. How does this truth about the church affect us? Well, first of all, we know that the church is the product of the truth. We are in the church because of God, in other words. When our children were little years ago, when we started here 18 years ago, they drew and colored pictures like your small children draw and color pictures. And at the bottom or top, my children wrote their name. They had created the picture, they had created the product, and so they put their name on it. Well, God's name is on us. We are His product. We are created out of His beautiful truth. What truth? Christ. Christ and the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ and His wonderful good news as revealed to us in Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. From the fall into sin to the end of time, our God, our husband, builds His church by His truth. And the Spirit brings us and many people to faith in Christ's accomplished work through the Word of God. The church is the product of God's truth, God's Christ, God's gospel. So here we sing Psalm 92, verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The very rock which is our foundation is the very rock which is also our salvation. We are here in the church because of His grace. Well, how does this reality affect us, secondly? Not only that we, the church, here in this local assembly are a miracle of God, a creation of God by His gospel, a product of God, but also, secondly, the church is the transmitter of God's truth. We know from Scripture that sometimes angels conveyed God's truth to men. When the law was given, it was also by the work of the angels. When the Savior's birth was announced, it was announced by the angels. When Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection was announced by the angels. Oh, praise God for the angels who serve our triune God. But you see, brothers and sisters, ordinarily God has reserved the honor of transmitting His truth through the church. The angels were not given the Great Commission. You and I were given the Great Commission. Your children have holy angels watching over them. But you, as parents, were given the task of transmitting the truth of God to them as servants of the Lord. And we here, as the pillar and ground of truth, are given this task too. And you know, transmitting this truth through the church happened in two stages. The first stage was revelation. In the Old Testament church, the prophets proclaimed God's word. Then in the New Testament church, the apostles, controlled by the Holy Spirit, gave the message of God's wisdom. Oh, the church has God's infallible, inerrant word in the Holy Scriptures, which Scriptures take us to the incarnate word, Jesus Christ. We, as I said earlier, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Praise God. We, the church, and through the church, God's revelation has come, and God's revelation is here in the Word. But the second stage is this. Because the church is to never fold up its Bible and let dust settle on it. Oh no. The second stage in this new covenant time is proclamation. We, the new covenant church, have the commission of Christ. We have the endowment of the Holy Spirit to proclaim and preach and live and witness of the Word of God, to the Word of God. We have this Scripture as our tool to take people to the Word of God, Jesus, our Savior. With God's Word as our foundation, God is pleased to employ us to transmit His truth and glory of Jesus to people by missions, by teaching, by preaching. And so, how does this truth affect us that we are the pillar and ground of truth? Because we have been committed by the Lord, ordained by the Lord, to transmit God's truth to people, to the world. That's astounding. You are a member of a family that has been given a cosmic privilege, a cosmic responsibility. The world depends on us, not because of anything good in us, but because we're servants of God, through whom God has ordained to spread His gospel message to them. Well, thirdly, how does this truth affect us, that we are the pillar and ground of truth? Well, because that we, the church, are not only created by the Lord, are not only to transmit His truth, but we are custodians of the truth. We're to guard it. We're to keep it. The church in the Old Testament was gifted with the promises and Word of God. It says in Romans 3 and Romans 9 and Deuteronomy 4 that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Christ Church today, upon whom the promises of Christ have come, is now entrusted with the Word of God. That's astounding to me. We've been together for 18 years, and for those years, not only us, but all local churches all over the world, we, imagine, think of it, think about you and me, and all our weakness and all our frailty and all the sins we do and all the mistakes we make, we're entrusted with the holy oracles of God. Entrusted to uphold it, entrusted to care for it, entrusted to teach it. We think of Acts chapter 15 and the Holy Jerusalem Council. There was a problem of salvation and how it applied to the Gentiles. Well, the church came together, and in council she met and deliberated the word of God, and a proclamation was given. Because the church is the pillar and ground of truth, a custodian of the truth. And you know what this means? This means, number one, that the church exercises the keys of the kingdom. We, in a local assembly, we open and shut. We shut and open according to the truth of Christ that is revealed to us in the Scriptures, because we are custodians of that truth. We allow people to come to Holy Communion or to forbid them from Holy Communion. We rebuke, exhort, teach with all long-suffering and doctrine, according to the Word of God, exercising discipline, exercising the keys of the kingdom. Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Secondly, we administer the two sacraments according to the apostolic authority. We give out baptism so that you and your children have God's name upon them. We give out the holy bread and wine. And through these sacraments, as Christ is here present in the church, Christ ministers to you through the holy ministers of God. Thirdly, this means that we love doctrine for Christ's sake. Because we're custodians of the truth, we love doctrine for Christ's sake. We must learn, we must understand, we must write about, we must summarize and teach Scripture where God and Christ is revealed. Doctrine is never an end in itself, but like the hammer that drives the nail, it is the means to teach us God and all His grace and all of His truth. And so, my dear friends, let us never at Trinity Church poo-poo doctrine. Rather, let us love God with our minds. There's an idea out there that sometimes says, well, let's just believe and love. Doctrine's not important. Let's just believe God and love. As if a person can believe and love without the truth. Scripture never divides faith in Jesus from truth in Jesus. Scripture never divides love from the Holy Spirit with truth from the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine if we were read John 8:24 that talks about the person of Christ. Well, who is Christ? Imagine if we read John 15:7, which talks about the Word of God. Well, what is the Word of God? Imagine if we read John 17:13, when Jesus talked about joy in the kingdom of God. Well, what is this joy and what is this kingdom of God? The only place that tells us is the Word of God, given to us by the prophets and apostles. You see, the church, through her ministers, and this is where is the connection for you. You, the people, help the minister. The minister helps you. You, the people, help support the minister. The minister helps support you. All for what purpose? So that the church, through her ministers, through her elders, then together with the people, can be stewards of the mysteries of God. Ministers are to rightly handle the Word of God. As a skilled master builder, they are to build up the church on the foundation of Christ with gold, with silver, with precious stone, which is true biblical doctrine, which truly points to the true Christ. And then you are built up. And then we, the church, are a pillar and ground of the truth. An example of this is the first to the third century and the period of the Reformation. During these times, numerous confessions and catechisms were the result, and almost all of them are masterpieces of scriptural interpretation. And the goal for the early church fathers and the goal for the Reformation fathers was God's glory, God's truth, and the blessing of Jesus Christ to mankind. Because if you get Christ wrong, you have error, and it's not a blessing to mankind. If you get God wrong, then you have error, and it is not a blessing to mankind. It's error and heresy and damnable. But what about you as a member? Should you love doctrine? Are you called to participate in the church's work of being a pillar and ground of the truth? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. Because we, as a community of Christians, are given this directive in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And body of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so you are to grow in your theology and your biblical understanding. Let that word dwell in you richly so you can share that word amongst yourself, that you can discern between truth and error, that you're able to share that with other people who are discouraged, and that you might minister to one another the peace of Christ, and that you might serve the world where you live, in Blenheim or in Cottam or in Windsor or here in Chatham, that you might give the truth as an extension of the church, that you might give the truth to other people. Well, how else are we to care for the truth? We are not only to exercise the keys of the kingdom, administer the sacraments, love doctrine for Christ's sake, but we are to also defend the faith. Paul did when he rebuked the false teachers and delivered them to Satan when they rejected the true faith. To support the truth, we must say what is anathema. Church of Jesus Christ, there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all teachings in this world are okay. There is heresy, damnable heresy. There are anathemas. And so we have to proclaim the anathemas, not because we said it first or decided what is anathema, but because God pronounced anathema in His Word. And the very anathemas that God pronounced in His Word, we must pronounce. All people who are against Christ are antichrist. And there's only one way of salvation. There is right and wrong. Because Satan is in this world, there's going to be heresy. Because humans love a selfish pride and selfish ambition, they're going to take doctrine and twist it in order to gain popularity or to have their sexual vices satisfied or to gain more money. You read of this over and over again in the New Testament. And we, the church, are called to defend the faith. Paul, remember what the Lord's brother said in Jude, Jude verse 3, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Oh yes, we have to defend the faith. The truth is given to us in Holy Scripture, summarized for us in our creeds and confessions. We must defend the truth summarized for us in the ecumenical creeds as well, in the Apostles' Creed and the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed. We must be faithful to the truths of God's Word, which the church has expressed so faithfully over these millennia. You know, we need oxygen, right? We fight to get it if we have a lung infection. Well, you see, the gospel is the oxygen of our soul and the oxygen of the world. So we defend the gospel. We struggle to keep it pure. So let him be accursed who preaches any other gospel than given to us by God. But you say, Pastor, there are so many opinions out there. Well, my dear friends, to the word and to the testimony, together with the history of the church, with the original languages, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, let us know the truth. Do not let the plethora of opinions or the plethora of websites teaching this and teaching that discourage you, thinking, you know what, there's no such thing as absolute truth. This religious pluralism, everybody's got their own opinions, so what's the use? Oh no, that's a trick of the devil. If you believe that, then sooner or later you'll be gone from the church because you'll be so discouraged and you'll say, well, no one can make up their mind anyway. Now that's heresy. That's the seed of Satan trying to destroy the church. Don't fall for it. There is truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. She has been led by the Holy Spirit. And so we have the ecumenical creeds. We have the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger and shorter catechism. And when we are learning and trying to understand as the pillar and ground of truth, well, let us go to the Word and to the testimony, continuing to learn, continuing to serve the Lord with our minds. But also, let's remember this, never outside the church. We will never know or defend the truth if we say, just me and my Bible. I don't need the church. I can understand Scripture on my own. And so we have our own opinions. We have our own favorite teachers. We have our own favorite websites. And we just have our Bible and me. And then we're critical of other people in the church. It's not that, no. Now, you know what it is, my friends? It's me, God, God's Word, God's church. It's God's church, God's Word, God, me. Theology happens in the community of the church because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, together as a community of God and with the Holy Spirit and with the Word, we confess, verse 16 of our text, don't we? We confess, don't we, together, verse 16. Great indeed, we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. But did you notice verse 16? Great indeed, we, the church, confess. That is how we learn the truth, with God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit in God's community, the church. We are taught His truth. You know, the Savior of mankind is our Lord. He came into this world, born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And then on the third day, He rose again for our justification. Praise God for the Savior who has the power to save anyone who comes to Him in faith and repentance. For all who come to Him, Jesus will in no wise cast out. Well, this great Savior, our God, has purpose that this truth of His person and His work be upheld and be given out through the church. We have a God-given strength, the strength of Christ and His truth. We have a foundation of our lives that gives us joy. It's the joy of Christ. We are to guard that truth for the Lord in this time and to give it out for His glory. It's a wonderful thing to be part of Christ's church. Why? Because this is the place of our triune God. And because this is the place where our triune God builds you up, so that we as the church can continue to be the strength and pillar foundation of the world, so that they too might know the glory, majesty, might of our triune God. Let's pray.